Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Thank you, Holy Ghost, for being among us tonight.
I feel like He's setting the stage for this service. Luke chapter 23 tonight. Hallelujah. We'll try not to hold you long in this service if the Lord will be our helper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thought today is had this message on my heart last two services. All day this evening. I wish the whole world was here. I wish this place was packed out with sinner folk. I love to preach to them tonight. Thought as I come this morning, and I've been praying for a heavier burden than I've ever had. And this morning coming through town, Oxford, I believe it was, them young teenagers or people in college, passed by them, and some reason or another, God smote my heart with such a heaviness. And I thought, you know, people don't even regard God anymore in America. And coming from eating Mother's Day dinner, past just a man and woman walking under a bridge, don't know them from nothing. She looked like she had lived a whole life rough with sin. And tears swelled up my heart and my eyes, Sister Collins. Thank God she just needs to get a hold of what I got a hold of. 8 years ago, going on nine, it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Oh, I asked the Lord in prayer. Back, it seemed like since last time I was here in August, on a Saturday and Sunday morning, I went to Connersville and was there for 5 weeks. Seemed like right before that, I was preaching. Seemed like ever since then I've been really going through the worst time of my experience. Through the toughest time of my ministry. I can remember the night that I felt it happen. I was standing down in Alabama in a little town called McIntosh, Alabama. They're Indian and Cajun people. And demon possession is very high in that community. On the scanner, there's a killing about every week on Magnolia Road. Now, I was called to preach my first adult camp. Every night, hell fought us. You could just feel the spirits of hell. Now, I'm not much on demon possession and seeing spirits. But ever since the pastors got there, he said, for the past few months, he was just new. Said, the devil just comes in his room. He can feel him roaring and breathing and see him every night come in and put his hand on his bed and said, you leave, and you leave now. And this preacher friend of mine that I know well, who's never talked like that in his life, said, I'm not leaving in the name of Jesus. Get out of my room. Brother Randy, every night I fought hell till finally I climbed in that pastor's study and went my way through the Calvary. And I said, God, give me the message that's going to break the yoke. And I come out of there, Brother Hopper, with this one message, the blood, the blood, the blood. And I never got to the pulpit. A demon-possessed boy ran to the altar, wept and cried, didn't know he was possessed, tried to commit suicide twice. I begin to say, young man, I don't know nothing about you, but Jesus is your answer. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. He began to squirm with that possession. He didn't begin to twitch and that voice speak out of him. We prayed for an hour until finally he would say, he said, he won't let me. We'd say, call on Jesus. He'd say, he won't let me. And he'd be coming himself. He'd cry and he'd weep and crocodile tears roll down his cheek. He looked at me and say, preacher, help me. Help me, preacher. Help me. I want the Lord. Help me. From time to Brother Randy, the power of the blood of Jesus broke the bondage. And that young man began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And God brought a victory. I got up from there on the floor, my shirt soaked with sweat. I stood flat-footed and looked at every power of hell that was in that building. And I said, I want this whole county and every devil in hell to know tonight that there ain't enough demons and a devil in hell that can overpower the blood of Jesus Christ. And ever since then, I felt every devil in hell look my way. But I come to Hamilton, Ohio, to tell it again. The blood of Jesus, it reaches the highest mountain. Amen. I preached more on Calvary, amen, since August than I ever have in my ministry. But I fought more than I've ever had in my ministry. I'm going to tell you, this is one message. The devil don't want preached anymore. But I want to tell you, amen, we can shout and the devil ain't going to listen to a bit of it. We can run aisles and the devil ain't going to listen to a bit of it. The only thing the devil listens to, amen, is Calvary and the blood and the cross. Amen, you worship the Lord with me. St. Luke chapter number 23. Amen, I want you to help me tonight. I've been having a little problem with my throat. It don't sound like it, but I've been not able to breathe. And I've been swelling up some, and I can't hardly get it out. Amen. It may sound fine, but you ask the Lord to help me tonight. St. Luke chapter number 23. Let's start in verse number 32. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were coming to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiments, casting lots. The people stood beholding him, the rulers also, which derided on him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offered him vinegar, saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. His inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, in Latin, Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Can you stretch your hand and say, Holy Ghost, help that preacher tonight. Holy Ghost, help me. Jesus, touch me tonight. Help me to lift you as high as I can get you. Move on me tonight, Spirit of Almighty God. Touch these lips of clay that I may preach your oracles. Jesus, love the name. Ask God to touch you right now. Raise both hands. You and the one beside you, touch you right now in this service. And the church said, Amen and Amen. Bible said, Paul said, I preach Jesus and Him crucified. I seek to know nothing but Jesus and Him crucified. Paul's theme was Christ. He knew nothing else. Everywhere he went, he preached Jesus and Him crucified. In the synagogues, he preached Jesus. In the marketplaces, he preached Jesus. In the judgment halls, it was Jesus. In the prisons, he preached Jesus. In the crowded cities, he preached Jesus. In the synagogues of Antioch and Thessalonica, you know what Paul preached? It was Jesus. Even on Mars Hill, the message that Paul preached was Jesus. Standing before Felix and Agrippa, he preached Jesus. In the prison at Rome, he preached Jesus. In writing to the Corinthian church, he preached Jesus. He said philosophy will only reach, amen, the patriotic, and the plea for the oppressed will only reach the culture. But I will preach the blood of the cross, for it is the power of God. Amen. The cross commands a universal attention because it reaches the universal want inside the heart of man. Amen. It's grand to minister to those that are diseased in the mind, but it is grander to minister to the soul that is diseased by sin and point them to an old rugged hillside where Jesus bled and died for their forgiveness. Goodness. Amen. Amen. Paul, he then preached his great master's personality. He was Jesus Christ. He held him up as a real man, but he was a man, but yet God man. But he was a crucified Savior. He was a Savior of the sinner, and he came not to baptize. Amen. Or to preach. Amen. Come on now. But he came to save that which is lost. He preached Jesus as the wisdom and the power of God. Amen. He preached it everywhere he went. He preached, amen, Jesus. Amen. I was thinking as I studied, amen, this message. Amen. There was a little deaf and dumb little boy. The commentary told me about this little deaf boy. Now I know we shouted last night, we shouted this morning, and we wore out tonight, but give me your undivided attention for just the next few moments tonight, even as I preach this. Amen. This is just as important as last night was. This is just as important as this morning was. Amen. You see, this little deaf and dumb little boy, he could not hear. Nor could he speak, but he loved to come to church. Though he could not understand the singing, he could not see himself. All he could do was they took the hymnal and would turn to the page. And the little boy would run his finger across the verses and then to the chorus. Even in every special song that was sung, and they had made him a little album, and his mother would open up, give it to the little boy, and the little deaf and dumb little boy would run his fingers through the song. Though he could not hear it, though he could not sing it himself, when he would go across to that song, the commentary said, when he found Jesus, the name Jesus, he would look up at his mother with a smile on his face. as if to say, Mother, this song is good. Amen. But this commentary said, Brother Harper, if he could not find the name Jesus, amen, he would shut his songbook, lay it to the side, as if to say, it ain't even worth looking at if it ain't a talking about Jesus. But we as the church should be the same way in our singing, in our testifying, in our preaching, in our witnessing. Even one preacher said to a younger one, every village in London, even every village outside of London, every place in the country of London, every road, every village road leads back to London. Every road leads to London. And he said to the young preacher, every scripture in the Bible leads to the metropolis, even great master Jesus Christ. And the preacher said, young man, take your text, but make sure you find the highway that leads it back to Calvary. The Old Testament, they look forward to it. Amen. But now we look backward, even to the cross, because it is the salvation of the saints. It is our redemption. Amen. For Christ sent not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not, come on now, with the wisdom of man's words, that the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen. You with me tonight? Amen. Philippians 2:8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, even that he is Lord, having made peace through his blood, even of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in heaven or in earth. Even Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I don't know about you tonight, but God help us that we should glory, amen, then in none other but the cross of Calvary. Let us shout, but in our shouting, remind us, oh God, of the reason why we have got the right to feel what we're feeling. Brother, it didn't come yesterday. It didn't come overnight. But it was the plan of God to reach this lost and dying world, which was you and me at one time in our lives. Well, the preaching of Calvary does not bring excitement anymore. I preached like this for 2 weeks at one church every night in October. Had a great move of God. But I preached this in a church running over 300. I preached on Jesus one night, Sister Collins. The church looked at me like in the morning. And everybody was silent. And I preached my heart out. And I wept and cried on the blood of Jesus. Even I called the foreign priest. I preached till my insides were hurting. Looked at a crowd who didn't even enthuse them. It did not even move them. But there was a young boy sitting in the back of the church that didn't know nothing about God. Amen. Who had been kicked out of his house at 10 years old. He had never heard. Amen. The preaching of the cross. But the boy he sat beside had heard it all of his life. He was his best friend. He had come with him. And he did not even cry one tear. That message did not even budge him. But that 10-year-old boy, even or that 17-year-old boy now, even sat there, baggy breeches, three times baggier than what he was. Amen, bigger than him. Three earrings in his ear. But he sat there, Sister Collins, and when I gave them the altar call and the invitation, though none of the church folks seemed to have been excited about my message that night, that little 17-year-old boy, if I tripped over his breeches, running to that altar, filling that altar, laid himself down, and wept his way through, amen, to Calvary. This might be an old message, but I'm telling you, it's still the sweetest message that can come from the pulpit. It's still the most powerless message that we preach in these last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why, preacher? Even it is our victory. It is our hope. It is our life. Amen. I want to preach tonight from the old song in the hymnal, on a hill far away. Stood an old rugged cross. I'm going to take my time. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. This year down in town, camp meeting, my favorite part out of the whole camp is the lead is singing in the choir, their youth choir. And this year, Brother Randall Walls, one of the songs we did was this old hymnal. He stands up on a little podium when he's directing us. Right. While he was directing us, we sung, I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Oh, yeah. Brother Randy, when we got to that part of clinging, Brother Randall Walls reached up like he grabbed a hold of the cross and said, I'll cling to the old rugged cross. So my message tonight to a lost and dying world in a church world that's in the last days is I'll cling to the old rugged cross. In a world full of a flood of evil, in a world full of the flood of sin, in a world full of flood of rebelliousness, in a world full of the flood of iniquity. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the only hope for this dying generation. Though they do not see it, though they do not accept it, I think I'm going to cling to it. Amen. Hallelujah. I told you last night, for those of you that were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, amen, of holiness, You were raised in it. It was birthed to you from the time you was a child. Amen. You may not understand why I praise Him as much as I praise Him, but if you knew where I was at and how messed up I was when I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, but I could not find nothing to satisfy the dying inside, until one day I stumbled into an old country church that lifted Him up, and I found myself at a rugged hillside, and I wrapped my arms and my legs around that cross, because it is my life. Before the cross, I had no life. Before the cross, I had no peace. Before the cross, I had no joy. My life was in utter ruin. My life was going down. Amen. But I found everything in that old rugged tree. Come on, saints. Oh, amen. They are songs. This one letter word, oh. You see, people try to find words to describe what they're feeling, and they can't find it. So they get tired of trying. So they just made little words like this. Oh, it means, amen, it's past feeling. I don't even know how to tell you what I'm feeling. It's past describing my emotion, my love, my excitement to this subject. It's beyond anything that the dictionary could say. So I just say, oh, that old rugged cross. Oh, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, even that old rugged cross, so despised by this world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross to my trophies. I'll cling to it. Amen. Because it is my hope in this dying world. Amen. Raise your hands and ask God to have His way tonight. Amen. We're a little quiet. Amen. I'm feeling all the hell fighting me right now. Amen. With my sick, my throat, and everything else. But I'm going to preach this. Amen. The night before it's over with. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may forget about it. You may only come to church on Sunday mornings. Amen. Or some of us don't even come then. Amen. And be suffice. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you're planning on making it to glory, you're not going to have a far-sighted relationship with God. You must have, amen, a clinging, amen, to the cross of Calvary in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. As a young man, we've been working one time in Germany, even on a church steeple. Even in this church, they have engraved a lamb, engraved inside their marble, amen, building this great church. And this lamb, amen, represents not only the Lamb of God, but it represents the fact that the janitor was working on the steeple when he slipped his foothold and fell from the top of that church to the ground to his death. Amen. But Brother Collins, That would have been the story. But just so happened there in Germany at that church, the shepherd grazed the sheep. He'd been in the churchyard. And when this man fell, he falling to his death. But before he hit the ground, a little lamb had walked underneath the spot where he was falling, crushing that lamb to his death, but saving that old janitor's life. Well, I don't know about you, but we were fallen from Adam's race. We were lost. We were dying and going to hell. We had no hope. We had no peace, no life. But the Lamb of God even laid himself down between heaven and hell. And when we fell, we fell on top of the Lamb of glory. And tonight, you cannot stand here in your own ability, in your own power, but it's the blood, it's Calvary that's enabled you to worship in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is more than just an old scene we've heard about or we've seen in pictures. Amen. I was reading in a McCartney book. This McCartney book said it like this. He said, he was a man and woman, amen, whose son had died and had buried. Amen, they lived in a Western country. Being in this Western country, amen, out of the son's death, they split up and divorced. They went to opposite sides of the country to work. And one day after years, few years, the man came home to his hometown for business transaction. And while he was there, he went by the cemetery to visit his boy's grave. When it's all of a sudden kneeling down there weeping over his boy, he heard the grouts crackle behind him. And he turned around, Brother Barker. And that boy's mother, his ex-wife, had come to the same town for business. And she just so happened to come to the graveyard to meet to see their little boy, his grave. And her first thoughts was to walk away from one another. But then they realized they had common interest in that grave. And kneeling on both sides, reached across it and joined hands and were reunited. And the author said it like this. Jesus died and God knelt down on one side of the grave. Come on now. Amen. On one side of the death and we on the other side. And through the death of the beloved Lamb of glory, he reconciled the relationship between God and man. Wow! We were broken. We couldn't get to God. We couldn't get to heaven. We couldn't have the Holy Ghost. But Jesus died. I said he died to bring us to God. And tonight I'll cherish that cross. I'll cling to it. Feeling good right this minute. Hallelujah. We couldn't get to him. Amen. But he bridged a way that we could get to God through him for Jesus' sake. Do you hear me? For Jesus' sake. It's not my own righteousness, lest I should boast. Amen. It's not my own works, but let us glory in the cross of Christ, for it is our redemption. It is our salvation. Do you hear me? It is our freedom. For we were bound to to our habits and our addictions and our sinfulness and our past and our iniquity, amen, and our faults and our failures, and we could not get free from it. We were locked inside of an unseen grave, but on that cross he abolished the bondage of sin. Do you hear me tonight? And that's why Paul stood up and said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. I'm free. I said, I'm free. I'm free from my past. I'm free from my future. I'm free from the bondage of sin. I ain't got to act like a sinner. I ain't got to walk like one. I ain't got to think like one, because I've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now this may not enthuse you, but there's a sinner in the house. Even their heart would be pumping right now. He's preaching to me. He's telling me, I can go free. You know, teenage suicide is higher than ever because people feel like they cannot get free. Right. They're bound to homosexual desires. They're bound to drugs. They're bound to lustful desires. They're bound to alcohol, and they cannot get free. Have you read the Holiness Messenger this month? The first page, Brother Darrell's telling me last night on the way home, tears flooded up in his eyes, rolled down his cheeks. Hallelujah. He said, a man come to Charles Finney and said, Mr. Finney, said, will you go home with me? Mr. Finney said, I sure will. And the church said, Mr. Finney, Reverend Finney, you don't know who that is. That's the meanest man in this town. That's the most hatefulest man. He'll harm you. He'll do something bad to you. And Brother Finney said, I don't care. I'm going home with him. And he walked down a dark alley. As he walked him down this dark alley, this man took Brother Finney and put him in an old building and walked in and shut the door, pulled a pistol out, pointed at Reverend Finney and said, listen. He said, the night you preached that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins, were you telling the truth? Reverend Finney stood with his shoulders squared back and said, yes, sir, I told you the truth. He said, Mr. Finney, you don't understand. Look around this building. I own this building. I sell liquor to men until they got no money left. They go home broke. They go home to wives and abuse them and their children, and their children starve. You mean to tell me that the blood of Jesus cleanses from this kind of sin? Reverend Finney said, yes, sir. The blood cleanses from this kind of sin. And he said, Reverend Finney, look at that table over yonder. It's a gambling table. Men come in here and gamble away their savings and go home with a card that says, even no money. And their wives squall and beg, don't do it again, honey. He said, and I take their money from them, and I don't feel one ounce of guilt in this. Do you mean that your Jesus blood cleanses from all sins like this? Yes, sir. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. He said, but Reverend Finney, one more. He said, I've been married. See that house over there? My wife lives there. And my girl. He said, I've never told them I love them. I've never touched my baby girl. I have beat my wife till she's black and blue, and her eyes are sunk in her head. I beat my little girl, and I I've abused them because of alcohol. Amen. I've never said one kind word for my wife and children. Now, Mr. Finney, do you mean to tell me the blood of Jesus can cleanse and sin like that? But Brother Dale said in that holiness message, it said Reverend Finney looked at it with tears driven off his chin. It said, sir, you painted me an awful dark picture, but I want to tell you once again, the blood of Jesus cleanses it from all sin. He said, thank you, Mr. Finney. You can leave. Mr. Finney walked out. The next day, his baby girl went over and said, Daddy, said, supper's ready. And he said, darling, tell Mama I'm not hungry. And she stood there staring and said, ran to her mother and said, Mommy, Daddy called me darling. Daddy called me darling. Said, Daddy ain't never been nice to me, Mommy. What's wrong with Daddy? He called me darling. She said, you're crazy. You didn't hear him say that. Your daddy's never called me that. Your daddy's never been a nice man. There's no way. She said, Mommy, I promise. He said, darling. And she said, go ask him again. And Brother Randy, the little girl, ran and said, Daddy, supper's ready. He said, come here, baby. And he put her on his knee. Amen. And she stood there, sat there in amazement. He looked up and there was his beaten wife, blue and bruised, and her eyes tucked in her head. As she walked over, he said, come here, honey. And she sat down on his other knee. And she said, what's wrong with you? I've never seen you like this. He said, let me tell you, darling, you got a new daddy. And wife, you got a new husband. I'm a new man because Reverend Finney said the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. And in that morning by himself, he had a talk with Calvary. Oh, if you could find that man tonight, spiritually, Brother Randy, you would find him with both arms and both legs wrapped around the cross, for he'd preach you a message. The blood, I'll cherish that cross. I'll worship it. I'll cling to it. Flood, 1990. Elba, Alabama, from where I'm from. We had a flood that Pea River come sweeping through Elba, washing everything we had away. Got that high in my house, waist high. And I hadn't been saved for 2 or 3 months. Had it when the flood came. My mother got the video of the flood. We were watching it. And in this video of the flood, Brother Randy, when the Pea River come rushing in and the levees broke, was washing homes and buildings and cars away, a man had got trapped in the city. Sister Collins, we all laughed and we giggled. Us kids, younger people did. Because when it showed the picture of that man, that man had leached onto a light pole like a leech and was holding on for dear life. And the flood was washing him away. But this man was holding on. A car beside him was moving. This man was holding on with dear life to a light pole. Because if he let go, he'd be washed to his death in the Pea River. And he knew his only hope, his dying hour, was that light pole. Right. August 30th, 1989. In the flood of my life, in a flood of sin, I seen a cross on the side of the floodwaters of my life. And I made my way to that cross. And though it's not been a bed of roses, and I've been saved by myself most of the time, I stand here tonight. Not because I'm anything, but because I realized that what I found in that tree, where my blessed Lamb of God bled and died for my sins. The blessed Lamb of God bled and died for my sins. Is my hope. And if I let go of it, I've let go of everything. I could preach another 30 minutes tonight. But I'm closing. Hallelujah. Looked at a man and a woman. I know it's going on tapes. I'll be reverently. Looked at a man and woman this last week, one Saturday night. Just lost their 9-year-old boy. Got an 8-year-old boy. 9-year-old boy. Lost him in a car wreck. Drunk driver. I watched that mother. That daddy standing strong. Hallelujah. The pastor preached his little funeral. He collected stones. Stones were all out laid. His mother laid all the stones out there. And when the preacher preached his funeral, got up and said he was a stone collector. He said, this little boy collected these stones. He said, I guess Jesus realized he needed somebody to polish the jasper stones. And glory. So he took this little child home. He told his funeral, and this is how he preached his funeral. His mother and daddy had bought both boys bicycles for Christmas. Both bicycles sat on the porch, and they had opened all their little presents. This little boy and his brother opened all of them, and his daddy said, boys, why don't you go outside and play? They said, no, did we play in here? He's trying to get them outside so they could see their bicycles. Finally, the one that just passed away went outside to play. And when he walked out, Brother Randy, he looked and saw his bicycle, got excited, saw his brother's bicycle, and turned around, opened the door, called his brother by name, said, hey, you'll want to come too. Hallelujah. Sat at the funeral. He been the preacher preached. He could look out of heaven's door. He'd say, hey, you all want to come too. You all want to come too. You all want to come too. But the only way to get there, amen, is to leech a hold of that horn. Oh, I'm preaching slow and quiet tonight. But the only way to make it, Brother Harper, is to reach and grab a hold of that old rugged tree. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I saw some lost people here tonight. And I couldn't wait to get to this pulpit to preach to them. Amen. And tell them. And I wish I could tell the whole world. There is a way out of sin. There is a way out of bondage. There is a way out of being hurt and wounded. But it's in the cross of Calvary. The thief on the cross. He was dying. Thought on the way up there, on the way up the hill. Who's this middleman? Why do they hate him so much? Why do they hate so much? What's he done wrong? They nail him to the trees. They all lay him up there high. With the Harper, this thief on the right says, King of the Jews. What kind of king? His only throne is a cross. What kind of king? His only throne. His only crown is thorns. What kind of king? His only kingdom is a few weeping people.
What kind of king is this? Till he heard the words of that middle man. Tears dripping off his chin as they cry and crucify him. And he hears that man in the middle say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing unto me." And the thief hangs his head and he says, "Yes, now I understand. This is the King of love. This is the King of mercy. This is the King of grace." And in realizing that, he looked over that middle man as the thief on the other side said, "Save yourself! Me too." But this thief on the right had caught a glimpse of the real Savior and saw Jesus for who he is and said, forgot all about his pain, and he said, "Quit hollering at him! We get what we deserve!" Brother Barker, I don't know about you, Brother Harper, when I saw him at 14 years of age, I saw how rotten and no good and sorry my life was. And how holy he was. He said, "Don't criticize him. We deserve what we get." And as he's going down in the mouth of hell, his body was done halfway into hell, his waist almost there, he looked up at that middle man and cried, "Jesus, Lord, Christ, that the only two men in his dying world wasn't him and his wife, wasn't him and his children, but the only men in his life was him and that middle man. And I don't know about you tonight. I love my family. I love my church. And I love you. But the most important person in my life tonight is the middle man on the cross. It's Jesus and him crucified." Stand all over the building if you respect to the Spirit right now, everybody. Unless you're not physically able to stand. They're getting ready to sing. Preaching my best tonight.
Great.
I don't ask you something, son. I don't ask you something, girl. Great. I don't ask you something, man. Woman. What's going to cause God's love to turn to wrath? It's going to win. You stand before God, and God says, "You look in his eyes. Look in my son's eyes. Look at him. He loved you till the end." Some of us backslid and come back and backslid and come back. But when you came back and fell at his feet, he acted just as if you had never left him. We fell it, but yet he acts just as if we never done it. Leon Buzzard was dealing with a situation with a man in his church that was in deep sin. Brother Leon said, "God, how do I treat this man? The pastors in the area are going to fall out with me because of his situation. If I tell him he can get saved..." The Lord spoke to Brother Leon and said, "Treat him like I treated Judas." He said, "Lord, how did you treat Judas?" Do you know? Jesus knew all the time. But he not one time showed Judas any hardship. And even when Jesus said, "That thou doest quickly, Judas, go do it." And he said it, and they should have realized. Sister Collins, he treated Judas as good as he did John. He treated Judas as good as he did anybody. And so much that I didn't even know he's talking about him. I wish you could travel in my shoes. My heart's with young folks. And sitting home where I sat just a few days ago, Brother Collins, looked at a 15-year-old kid with a mama that ain't never been to church. She a good woman, but she took him and left him with a babysitter when he was 12 because his grandpa died. She's tending to her mama. This babysitter and her boyfriend molested him. He's 12 years old, molested him, 13 years old. Said, I will kill you, you tell your mama. So he continued to stay. Molested him. And I looked in his eyes. Sister Collins sitting on the couch. And Brother Collins, I felt more God sitting in that living room than I do in church sometime. Because that's where God's heart is. That's where Jesus is. That messed up kid. Not one preacher ever visited my home. Not one church ever visited my home. My mama's on a third marriage. You don't want to mess with my kind of people. Pastors never darted my door. Don't mess with them. You don't want that kind in your church. And I'm so glad Jesus sent a sinner, 17-year-old blonde-headed boy that was lost, to my house. And though a Christian went knock on my door, conviction got on a sinner, and a sinner knocked on my door. And in the flood of sin, I found the cross. I'm through, I promise. Telling this, I'm through. Little country town. A colored man was dying. A drunk. He was the bum of the city, Sister Collins. Laid on the street corners. Staggered the street corners. The pastor felt led to go pray for him and went to the hospital. Brother Randy, when he walked in, old colored man laying there. Smell like he ain't bathed in a while. Laying in that hospital bed. Dying of lung problems, cirrhosis of the liver, all kind of things from alcohol. The preacher said, sir, God laid you on my heart. Jesus loves you. And he said, don't talk to me, preacher. I'm ridiculed in this town, mocked by this town. I've seen church people laugh at me. This preacher said, I don't care. Jesus loves you. No, he don't. My grandpa died the drunk of this town. My daddy died the drunk of this town. And I'm going to die the drunk of this town. The preacher said, no, it ain't got to be that way. He began to cry and he said, preacher, I can't get through. I can't get through. I can't. Yes, you can, cried the preacher. You can. No, I killed a boy in a drunken stupor. I was drunk and I killed him. And murderers don't go to heaven. Drunkards don't go. The preacher said, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. You can get through. No, I can't. His monitor went off and the nurse came running in and said, sir, I don't know what you're doing, but you're upsetting him. You must leave. And he cried. The preacher cried and said, sir, remember this. Jesus loves you. Laid down that night, couldn't sleep, prayed till way in the morning, got an hour to sleep up, jumped in his car and ran to the hospital. Ran in. Bed empty. Tears drip off his chin as he runs to the nurse's station and says, ma'am, please tell me. What happened to the drunk? Called his name. Old Willie or something. She said, sir, are you kin to him? No, ma'am. You any relation? No, ma'am. He died this morning around 4 something this morning. The old preacher began to cry. Tears were. She said, sir, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? He said, ma'am, God laid that man on my heart. I'm a pastor. Tears swelled up in her eyes, started rolling down her cheeks. Brother Harper, she said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. She said, the doctor told me it was just because he's out of his mind. He's on drugs and on high drugs, painkillers. Said, but this morning as he is dying, she said, I thought he was crazy. Said, but he was crying and looking up to me going, tell that preacher. If he comes back, tell that preacher. I got through. Tell that preacher. I got through. I got through. I don't know about you tonight. He was hopeless. But that old rugged cross made a difference in that old church. Some rich men don't nail here because there's poor men laying here at this cross. And there's drugs. I want to tell you tonight, you can get through.
We got
a preacher on tape. He's singing. 7 years as a baby, born as an adultery affair. Mother couldn't hand him, gave him to a woman. She died 7 years when he was 7 years old. Handed him in a Bible and said, this is all I can give you, son. He's Jesus. He lived on the street, Brother Harper. Lived under an old bridge. And every day he'd weep and cry, God, why'd you put me out here? Sister Collins, he worked his way through high school, wore the same clothes every day. They made fun of him. But he had a hold of the cross. Got a grant, went to college on his own, lived under a bridge. Graduated, doctor's degree, preaching the gospel with a wife and 2 boys. And he's doing a mighty good job preaching Jesus Christ. I don't know what he believes as far as standard of holiness, but I know he preaches Jesus. That's the hope of the world! Hell don't like this message, but I'll shout it again tonight in Hamilton, Ohio! The blood of Jesus is still the hope of this lost and dying.